Welcome back to Clear Your Beliefs. Our topic today is clear your negative beliefs about who you are. We're going to focus on the issues and problems that keep you from being happy and joyful, the inner limitations that prevent you from expressing yourself fully and giving your natural gifts to the world. Everyone has something in their way. It's just a part of the human condition. If you're alive, you have problems. So don't think you're so special. The question we're asking today is, what do you believe about yourself? This is your answer to the question, who are you? And it's based primarily on the beliefs and the programming you got as a child. What messages did your parents and your caregivers plant in your child brain? Remember that you were on record mode for the first 4 or 5 years of your life, so you took in whatever was happening and you came to conclusions about it. If your mother said, "Don't be stupid," you concluded, "I am stupid." If your father said, "You'll never amount to anything," you took on that belief, "I'll never amount to anything." We had to take our parents' beliefs on because that ensured our survival. All those beliefs that were indoctrinated into you are still there in your belief closet. It's as if you kept all of the clothes you ever wore and you stacked them up in your closet. You've got piles of infant clothes, including all those smelly diapers, piles of cute toddler outfits, and other piles of little kid outfits like the poodle skirt or the cowboy shirt, and all your Halloween costumes, and piles of your school and church clothes, and every jacket and coat you ever had, and then teenage outfits and underwear and every piece of clothing you outgrew and threw away or gave away. They're all just stacked up, taking up the space inside your belief closet, so there's hardly room for anything else. Our goal here is to clear out your closet, to make some room, and give you the opportunity to buy some new clothes. Those old outfits don't fit you anymore. They defined who you were, not who you are. There are a lot of ways to find out what's buried deep in your subconscious mind and your belief closet. Now, some of your old beliefs are useful. You might believe, for example, "I can accomplish anything I put my mind to." That's a great belief. You don't want to get rid of that one. But you may have another belief like, "I'll never have what I want." That belief creates the condition in which you never get what you want. Let's get rid of that one. Most of us have a critical inner voice from time to time. It might berate you or call you down. It might say things that are mean or even destructive. Everything that those voices say are beliefs that you took on at some point in your life, usually when you were young. Now, these voices can sound a lot like your own voice. So you think to yourself, "I'm stupid" or "I'm ugly." Most people hear something like that from time to time, and other people hear it all the time. When we're under stress or make a mistake, that inner critic can really wail on us. Today, you're going to make a list of your negative beliefs about yourself. Now, if you don't hear them internally, you may just know things about yourself, or you may hear what other people say about you that's negative, and that's another way to tell what your own beliefs are. Because if someone calls you a name like bitch or asshole, and you don't believe that you are that, then you won't get offended by the remark. It's like, "Are you talking to me? You must have me mixed up with someone else. That's not me." So if you are sensitive to criticism from others, you'll want to write down those things because that indicates that you believe it inside yourself somewhere. Even if you defend yourself and say, "That's not true," you wouldn't have to defend yourself if you didn't believe it. Now, another way to find your negative self-beliefs is by looking at what prevents you from moving forward in your life or what makes you stuck. You might say, "I just can't market myself because I think people don't want to hear from me." So there's your belief. People don't want to hear from me. Anything that's in your way is probably a limiting belief. You just need to face it directly into it and ask, "What belief is that? What do I believe about myself?" You're first going to make a list of those limiting and negative beliefs, and then you'll pick one to work on inside the belief closet today. We'll do this each week, and you'll see how easy it is to discreate or disappear a belief from your own psyche. By the time the course is over, you'll be able to do this yourself, on your own, without guidance. You can then go through your long list and just discreate one belief after the other, until your belief closet is cleaned out, and what was bugging you before just doesn't come up. So have a piece of paper and pen nearby, or your keyboard and computer, and begin to write down the beliefs you have about yourself that are negative or limiting. We'll start with beliefs that begin with I am. These are identity beliefs. They form the basis of our identity, who we believe we are. If someone asked you, who are you? You'd start by answering, I am, and then fill in the blank. You might start with your roles. I am a mother. I'm a businessman. I'm a daughter. I'm an administrator. I'm a quality control manager. I'm a caretaker. I'm a student. So begin this exercise by writing down all of the roles you play. Take time now and pause the recording if you wish to so that you can do this part of the exercise completely. Just keep writing down these role beliefs until your mind stops and has to think really hard to come up with another one. That means you got most of them, which is sufficient. And when you're done, unpause the recording. Okay, next, you're going to begin a list of I am qualities. These are statements like, I am old, I am dynamic, I am pretty, I am homely, I am obedient, I'm rebellious. Now, in many cases, you'll notice that you have beliefs on both sides of the extreme. I am strong and I am weak. I am hardworking and I am lazy. That's fine. Just write down as many qualities as you can and focus on the beliefs that you have about yourself. As you examine your beliefs, you'll notice positive ones coming up as well. That's fine. Write them down too. You're going to be making a long list today. After you complete your list, you'll look them over and decide on one in particular that you'd like to eliminate during the belief closet journey. The rest of them you can delete on your own. Watch especially for the ones that come from your more critical voices. Those usually begin with you are. For example, you are unworthy of love. You are worthless. You are selfish. When you notice one of those, turn it into an I am belief. I am unworthy of love. I am worthless. I am selfish. Because you wouldn't be hearing those nasty opinions about yourself unless you believed them at some level. Pause the recording if you wish and write down as many of those as you can. Then turn the recording back on. Next, write down all of your I am not beliefs. This is where you see yourself as limited and incapable. I am not smart. I am not disciplined. I am not able to take care of everything. I am not wealthy. Keep writing until you're out of ideas. Remember that we all have hundreds of beliefs about ourselves because of what others have told us and what we figured out on our own. Don't try to capture every single belief, just the ones that are the most in your face, the ones you hear about from your inner voices, the ones that interfere with your happiness. Pause the recording to give yourself enough time to make a complete list. If you've done a lot of work on yourself, your old beliefs may be hidden by your more recent positive view of yourself. So the old ones don't come up very often. Your life is pretty positive and things go pretty well. But sometimes these old beliefs come out when you make a mistake or you fail at something. They may pop up when you get negative feedback or when someone treats you badly, or when you compare yourself to others who are further ahead than you are. It doesn't matter how strong they are or how loud they are in your head. What matters is that they're there and that they interfere with your life. They stop you from feeling good, and they prevent you from moving forward at times. When you clear these old limiting beliefs about who you are and what you deserve, you'll enjoy life more. You can open up and let life in. You can feel more pleasure because you feel worthy of it. You can move your projects forward. You can make mistakes and not spend a week beating yourself up. You can just face it, learn from it, and move on. Now, mistakes are how we all learn, of course, but a huge number of people in this culture got the belief in their past, mistakes are bad. Did you? Just take a moment and feel what it feels like to hold the belief, mistakes are bad. It just takes a moment to feel whether that's true for you. You can feel it in your body. It's one of the most pernicious and damaging beliefs we ever received. Most of us got it in school if we didn't get it directly from our parents. When you made a mistake at home or in school, you got punished or other kids laughed at you. It feels terrible to be humiliated in front of other people. So most kids conclude from this, well, I'm not going to say anything more. They just clam up because who wants to be made fun of? Who wants to be laughed at or punished? It's a terrible, shameful feeling. And this stops so many children from expressing themselves. There's a psychological term I like a lot called interrupted enthusiasm. When your enthusiasm for anything gets interrupted, you experience a kind of shock to your system, and so you become less enthusiastic about things and about life. It's a strategy for survival, and it makes sense. And the root of enthusiasm is the Latin roots en and theos, which means God or divinity. It's God within, and parents and teachers and even other kids cut off your inner divinity until you become just like them, cut off from emotion, cut off from taking risks, cut off from learning. It's a human tragedy on a grand scale. So we conclude, mistakes are bad. I highly recommend taking that belief into your belief closet and deleting it. Now imagine your parents saying, hey, you made a mistake, congratulations. You just found one of the ways that it doesn't work. Celebrate every mistake because that's how you learn and you'll find the one that works. Every successful person out there will tell you that they made lots of mistakes and kept going, and that's how they learned to be successful. Okay, back to our beliefs about ourselves. You should have quite a list built, and feel free to add to it this week as you're going about your day. You may remember another belief you have about yourself, or you'll hear one of those inner voices. Pull out a notepad and write it down. And just acknowledge it. That's a great step all by itself. Oh, I have the belief I'm a jerk for screwing up that relationship. Okay, groovy, I'll write it down for deletion later. Don't get too attached to it and don't beat yourself up about it. Now, as you clear your limiting beliefs, what will happen is that you'll begin to see your own magnificence. You know what a cataract is, right? It's when the lens in your eye gets cloudy and you can't see things clearly. Now, clearing your belief clears the cataract in your inner eye. When you get your lens changed after a cataract surgery, suddenly the world looks much brighter because you're not looking through a dark lens anymore. That's how your world will change as you clear your beliefs one by one. Now, you could say that all beliefs are limiting, because a belief is a kind of definition of what something is and what it is not. I quoted William Blake last week. If the doors of perception were cleansed, everything would appear to man as it is, infinite. For most of us, our beliefs are black or white. They're either true or false, real or unreal. However, there's another way to look at beliefs. They might be true, or they're sometimes true. Here's a great story that I heard. A little boy named Billy comes running into his house crying, and Mom asks what happened. Billy says, "The boys called me stupid." Mom dries his tears and says, "Well, that's true sometimes, isn't it? You're stupid sometimes." "Yes," says Billy through his tears. "And sometimes you're smart, aren't you?" "Yes," says Billy, brightening up a bit. "And sometimes I do stupid things, don't I?" "Yes," says Billy. "And sometimes those boys act stupid, don't they?" "Yes," says Billy. "Okay, so is it true that you can act stupid sometimes and so does everybody else?" "Yes," says Billy. "Can I go back out and play now?" So we only have trouble with the beliefs that are always true or always false. If we can see them for what they are, temporary, partial descriptions of a small part of reality from one point of view, we won't get so attached to their being right or wrong, real or unreal. And if we aren't attached, we don't have to get offended by them or defend them or resist them. Beliefs are just tools that we use to experience a moment of reality from one point of view. So if every belief creates a kind of limitation, imagine what life would be like with no limitations except the ones you're temporarily using to get something done. You take on the belief, "I am capable of exact measurement," when you're doing carpentry. But when you go home, you have to let that one go because it's not a good idea to measure your spouse on everything they've done. There, you take on the belief, "I love and care about my spouse." And when you leave in the morning, you believe, "I'm a safe driver." You take on the beliefs that are appropriate for the moment, for the task at hand. And if you find that one limits you, you make the decision to discreate it, or at least move it into the category of sometimes true. I call this no limits being. What would life be like if you had no limits other than the ones you impose on yourself when it's appropriate to do so. Your unlimited self, your true self, is filled with your unique beauty, your glory, the amazing combination that makes you, you. Imagine seeing yourself that way all the time. You walk around loving yourself. You allow your light to shine. Now, other people are attracted to your light and they want to be around you. They want whatever you're having. Remember that famous scene in When Harry Met Sally? In the middle of a restaurant, Sally shows Harry how she fakes an orgasm. And another patron says, "I'll have whatever she's having." It's like that. That's what's possible here as you move the negative limiting beliefs out of the way. We're going for nothing less than your own glory. So what gets in the way of your joy and happiness? It's either the circumstances around you, something happening that you don't like, or it's how you see yourself, what you believe about yourself, and who you believe yourself to be. A lot of people blame their circumstances for their unhappiness, but most of us have figured out by now that our beliefs create our reality. Our circumstances are a result of what we've done or not done, and we've behaved in that particular way because of how we see ourselves. And how we see ourselves comes from those old programs we got as children and teenagers and adults. If you see yourself as a person who's unworthy of love, you're going to filter out loving experiences. You're kind of blind to them. In psychology, this is called confirmation bias. We see through our beliefs, and therefore we don't accept the experiences that don't align with our beliefs. We filter those out. So circumstances are a reflection of our beliefs. Change what you believe about yourself, and it's almost guaranteed that your circumstances will change. I want to respond to a couple of comments at this point. Some people say, you can't just believe your way out of extreme poverty or discrimination. I want to acknowledge that this is really true. Circumstances and environment are powerful programmers of beliefs. And yet, we've also all heard stories about people who did whatever it took to move up and out of their circumstances. We see these people as kind of heroes, and they really are. They had to fight hard against the world they knew, the political and economic situation that wanted to keep them down. They made a decision to change, they didn't collapse, and they found a way out. And many more people didn't make it, even though they tried. There's no guarantee. All you can do is the best you can do. Now, when you change your beliefs, your circumstances don't automatically change. But you'll be in the best position possible to deal with your circumstances, whatever they are. That's how it works. And it's just as important that we collectively, especially those of us with privilege, work hard to change the political system and the economic system and every system that's been designed to keep some people down and limited, and give every single person in the world the opportunity to shine their light and give their gifts to the world. That is the world I'm dedicated to building, and that's the world I want to live in. So if you believe that and you want that, join me. Over and over, we have seen people go through the belief closet process and watch as their circumstances change. I mentioned last week my friend who cleared 200 beliefs on his own, and since that time, he's gone from poverty to being involved in multimillion dollar deals. Another client of mine went from being a product manager in a big corporation to a vice president in the company that bought his division. Another client went from being nearly suicidal inside a mental institution to returning to her health, her marriage, and a successful practice. These are the big stories, and there's hundreds of regular people who have simply improved their lives. The noise inside their heads quieted so they could move their lives forward. Their intimate relationships became more secure and happier. Their relationships with their children, including their teenagers, went from crazy to sane. When you remove the beliefs that cause limitations and blocks and barriers and stuckness, your natural self comes out. And your natural self is beautiful, attractive, capable, wise, and loving. Everybody wants to be around you. You can accomplish miracles. You are the only one that can clear your path. Nobody can do it for you. Even if you're in psychotherapy, your therapist can only lead you down the path toward realization and your decision to make changes yourself. The old joke isn't far off. You know, how many psychotherapists does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but the light bulb has to really want to change. The belief closet process isn't a magic bullet that will end all your ills and make your life perfect. I don't know anything that does that, except maybe the grace of God. It happens sometimes, but I don't suggest waiting around for it. This is a tool that you use. It's a practice. The more you do it, the better you get at it, and the faster you transform your life. A practice is something you do over and over. Doctors have practices. Football players practice all the time to get better and better. If you want to learn to play the piano, you have to practice, and the more you practice, the better you get. If you have issues and difficulties along the way, remember that it's part of the path. It's like walking up a trail on a mountain. There are stones and trees that might have fallen into the path. They're obstacles. They're natural. Now, you could take it as a sign that the path is not for you. You could turn around and go home. You could let them stop your forward progress. Or you can handle them and keep climbing up the mountain. Winners and experts in every single endeavor are people who handled the stuff in the way and kept going. In the I Ching, the Chinese Book of Changes, it is said very simply, perseverance furthers. Problems and difficulties are normal. In fact, they can be expected because they're automatic. I'm going to tell you a little known secret of the mind, one that I teach a lot. I'd like everybody to know it. Whenever you bring something new into existence, from a new thought to a new business, the new belief you create has a stimulating effect on all the old beliefs that conflict with it. It's like a challenge to them, so they jump up and reassert themselves. This is the cause of doubts and second thoughts and resistance and most of your internal conflicts. Here's an example. You decide that you're going to market your product or service by reaching out and calling people you don't know. This is a new creation, a new thought, a new commitment. That creation stimulates all your old beliefs that conflict with this action. Don't talk to strangers. Don't bother people. Sit down and shut up. Who do you think you are? Stop being a pest. No one wants to hear your opinion, and don't ever talk to strangers. So suddenly your mind is filled with these thoughts, and it's enough to make anybody turn around and run for the hills. Here's the secret. They are just old beliefs reasserting themselves. They're not true, and they're not real. They're just beliefs. The question is, what are you going to do about them? And here's the simple answer. Bring them into the belief closet process and delete them one by one. Then you'll be ready to make your phone calls, and you'll be able to do it without resistance or hesitation. It's magic. When you have the belief closet tool in your pocket, it's like one of those multi-tools. You can pull it out and deal with whatever comes up. So your doubts and your inner voices and resistance and barriers, they're all very normal and you can expect them. And the only difference, again, between successful people and people who aren't successful is that successful people have ways of dealing with the stuff that comes up automatically. Even great actors on stage say, before I walk out on stage, my stomach is full of butterflies, and I just deal with it and I walk out on stage. So that's what this process is for, to remove those barriers and blocks and resistance that get in your way, whether they're minor doubts or major traumas from the past. Now, there are some special beliefs that we need to talk about. This category of beliefs actually interferes with your ability to change your beliefs. For example, if you have the belief, I can't change my beliefs, or the belief, this process won't work for me, or these processes never work for me, or I never finish what I start, those beliefs will stop your belief change process like a brick wall. Here is the good news. They're just beliefs. You can bring them into the belief closet process and discreate them, and that will free you to actually change your beliefs and complete the process, and you will see magic happen. When you clear a belief, whatever was interfering with you is no longer there. What stopped you is no longer stopping you. What wasn't working can now work. Your experiences, remember, are created by your beliefs. Change your beliefs, and you can change your experiences. But don't believe me. I don't want you to believe anything I say. I want you to try it out for yourself and see if it works for you. Find out the truth through your own direct experience. When you rearrange the furniture in your house, you often find things you didn't know were there. The same is true when you rearrange your inner landscape and start discreating beliefs. Now, beliefs are stacked up in your subconscious mind. And when you take off the top layer, the second and third and fourth layers start coming up and pushing their way up to the surface. When you discreate a belief, the usual feeling is relief. It's kind of a subtle feeling of something letting go. However, it's not unusual to have a negative reaction or even feeling more stuck come up. This is actually good news. It may not feel very good, but it means that something is moving and shifting at the core of your psyche. It means the process is working. Just recognize that it's just another belief coming up and ask the question of yourself, what belief is this? When you discover the belief, take that one into your belief closet and discreate it. Then the next layer will appear, and then the next layer, and so on, until you've completely cleared the whole stack. That's when you feel really clean and new and open, and new possibilities appear. Another thing that can happen is that some strange feelings show up after discreating one of your long-standing old beliefs. Now, what you may be experiencing is the absence of something that's always been there, and it can feel weird. It's a little like the phantom limb experience that some people get after a limb is amputated. The mind is trying to feel what isn't there. So just enjoy a little weirdness in your life. Most of us don't get enough weird in our lives. When you replace an old belief with a new empowering belief, you may feel lighter or more spacious or things appear easier. But because it's the absence of something rather than the presence of something new, your mind can't relate to it in the same way as having a great experience like falling in love. Wow, I had that great experience and now I'm having it again. You know, in the space that gets created, other beliefs will often make themselves apparent, so watch for that. And when it happens, just write them down and take them into your belief closet. We talked about belief clusters in our last session. These are groups of belief that are hooked onto each other like with Velcro, and they reinforce each other. And often when you discreate one belief in the cluster, another one will pop up or come to the surface in your mind. This is also normal. Just write it down and take it into the belief closet. As I said, I suggest having a piece of paper or notepad with you all the time, or use the notepad on your smartphone. Whenever you feel something new or strange, just ask this question, what belief are you? Now, in the imaginal realm, in the subconscious mind, where we go into the belief closet, experiences and beliefs will talk to you directly, and they'll answer your questions. The answer might come in words, or memories, or pictures, or feelings. Whatever you get, write it down, and then bring that into the process. Okay, we're going to return to the exercise now and look for other beliefs you have about yourself. Get ready to write again. We're going to go a bit deeper. We're still focusing on negative beliefs, so if a positive belief comes up, just write that down too and keep going. We're looking particularly for the beliefs that stop you, that slow you down, that defeat you, or interfere with your life. These beliefs might make you feel sad or angry or frustrated, or they block your forward movement. They create internal resistance, doubts about yourself, or places where you beat yourself up. I'm going to ask you to allow yourself to feel some nasty feelings. Now, we usually push these away, but the way to explore beliefs is to really allow them to be there. You have to be aware of something first, and feel it second, in order to get rid of it third. So open yourself up very gently. Be kind to yourself. Feel all of that stuff that defeats you and ask yourself, what do I believe about myself when I'm experiencing this? And write down whatever comes up, even if it appears weird or not like you at all. We're actually inviting the subconscious mind to bring up what's in the basement. It might not be pleasant, but that's okay. This is the exploring part. So ask again, feeling the stuff that defeats you, that stops you, and ask yourself, what do I believe about myself when I'm experiencing this? Next, I'm going to say some phrases, and whatever comes to mind, write that down. We'll start again with I am, and then fill in the blank. I am blank. You can just say it to yourself, I am blank. Maybe it's I am weird, or I am not nice, or I'm a bad person. If it's already on your list, just put a check mark beside it or highlight it. So just say it to yourself, I am, and allow another one to come up. We're inviting things up from the subconscious mind. Maybe it's, I am stuck. I am evil. I am a mess. Whatever comes up for you, write it down. I am blank. Okay, and you can do that again anytime you wish to add to your list. Now think about your abilities or your lack of abilities. Regarding my abilities, I am blank. This may take the form of I can't. Regarding my abilities, I can't blank. And if more than one comes up, just write them all down. Let them flow out of your pen. I can't play the piano. I can't handle it. Whatever comes up, allow it to flow out your pen. And now we'll move on and again add to the list anytime you wish. Think about your body and feel your body and remember how you see yourself in the mirror. Regarding my body, I am, and fill in the blank. I am fat. I am out of shape. Regarding my body, I am embarrassed. Whatever it is, just write it down. And now consider your intelligence. Regarding my intelligence, I am blank. Or regarding my mental abilities, I am blank. I am clever. I am stupid sometimes. I am a problem child. Whatever comes up, write it down and let it flow out of your pen. And now consider your full range of feelings and notice how they change throughout the day. They may change quickly or slowly. It might be like the weather or like the ocean. And say to yourself, regarding my feelings, I am blank. Perhaps it is, I have too many feelings, or no one understands my feelings, or I'm too much for others. Regarding my feelings, I am, and fill in the blank. And now we'll move on to your social status, where you stand in comparison to others. Regarding my social status, I am, fill in the blank. When more than one comes up, just write them down and let them flow out of your pen. I am not as good as others. I am trying to get better. Regarding my social status, I am in the lower half. Now think about your money, your wealth, and your financial status. Regarding my financial status, I am, and let the answers flow. Regarding my financial status, I am, or in regard to money, I am. Okay, we're about halfway through this process. Now consider your relationships for a moment. This is a complex area because you have intimate relationships, friendships, acquaintances, and family relationships. And as you think about all of them, say to yourself, in relationships, I am, and let your pen flow out. And now regarding work. Say, with regard to work, I am a hard worker. I am bored. I am looking for a new job. Whatever comes, whatever's true for you, write it down. With regard to work, I am. Okay, I'm going to go a little faster now. So just allow the flow to come out, write down the first couple of thoughts that come to you. When I'm at my worst, I am. Compared to others, I am. Compared to who I want to be, I am. Compared to who I should be, I am. Mom said I was. Fill in that blank. Mother said I was, or if you didn't have a mother, my primary love source said I was. And next, Dad said I was, or my father called me. And if you didn't have a father, what did that mean? You can use without a father, I am, and fill in the blank. And now remember other important people in your life. They may have been relatives, like grandparents or siblings, your friends, your priest or rabbi, even your enemies. And here's the last one. This important person in my life said I was, and fill in the blank. And just go through each of the people that told you who you were or how you were, and write down their names and what they said you were. Okay, great. Feel free to pause the recording if you want to fill in more. But if you're ready to move on, take a big breath and just sit with all those feelings that came up for a minute. It might be a great big mess of feelings. That's okay. Give yourself some praise, even a hug, for doing this hard work. It's like digging for gems. It's a lot of hard work, but the rewards are fantastic. Take a breath. Kind of shake it off. Okay, so this is a good beginning. As I said, we have hundreds of beliefs about ourselves inside of us, and others will be emerging during the next few days. Just add them to your list. Take another breath. Bring yourself back to your normal everyday consciousness, gently and easily. Take a look around the room and feel your feet on the floor. Always a good way to get grounded. Okay, now we'll begin the next step of this process. What I'd like you to do now is to look over this long list and circle the top five, the ones that most interfere with your life right now. They might be interfering with your love life or with your relationships or your work, or they might just be the ones that get in the way of creating your dream life in any arena. So take a minute and look over the list and circle the big nasty five. We're going to bring your top one into the belief closet, so put a star next to the top one that you feel most interferes with your life, the one that gives you the most trouble. And I suggest pausing the recording until you have done that. I'll give you just another half a minute on this recording, so if you can do it in half a minute, you could just let the recording roll. Okay, now if you haven't decided which one to use in the belief closet process, just pick one. It doesn't really matter which one you pick. Deleting any of these top five will have a good result. Just pick one arbitrarily if you can't decide which one's the top one. Which one would you like to work with? and then put your pen down and get ready to go on a journey.